You are now listening to The Griot's Black Podcast Network, Black Culture Amplified.
Welcome to another episode of The Griot Daily. And I know everybody saw that thing that happened at that rapping shoe salesman's fashion show when he wore that t-shirt. And everybody was talking about it, but we want to wait a little bit until the din died down. Because again, we don't want to give any attention to that rapping shoe salesman who sells those ugly shoes. What we want to talk about is the idea behind that, because that's what this podcast is, right? We don't talk about people. We don't talk about things. We talk about ideas. And today we want to talk about the idea behind that t-shirt and why it was so, some people say, offensive. Some people say anti-black. Some people say it was stupid. But we want to talk about that. I'm Michael Harriet, world famous white peopleologist, and this is The Griot Daily, the only podcast that will explain why white lives don't matter. Right, like, so if black lives matter, then what's wrong with saying that white lives matter or all lives matter? Well, to understand what's wrong with that, you know, you have to understand the history of black movements. Throughout the history of black movements, you know, we've talked in previous episodes about there's really never been a black movement that the majority of white people agreed with, right? Like, the majority of white people didn't agree with ending slavery, right? Like, we had to fight the bloodiest war in the history of the North American continent to end slavery. And I know white people right now are saying, yeah, but, you know, white people fought to end slavery. Now white people fought to preserve the Union against people fighting to continue slavery. There's a difference. But the abolition movement, again, wasn't, you know, agreed to by most of the white people who were involved with slavery. Neither was the anti-lynching movement. The NAACP and Ida B. Wells and black activists everywhere were trying to get black people or the country to pass an anti-lynching bill, and white feminists wouldn't do it. Nobody would join the NAACP and black activists' struggle to end extrajudicial murder, is basically what lynching is. And so the anti-lynching movement was not agreed to by most white people. The same thing with the civil rights movement, right? Like, we can look at polls from the civil rights movement and see that most people thought that the sit-ins were unnecessary. Most people disliked Martin Luther King. Most white people thought that the civil rights protesters were out of line. And there are actual polls that, like, we're showing you right now. But there's really never been a movement for black equality or justice or freedom that the majority of this country agreed with. But when it comes to the Black Lives Matter movement, it's no different from all of those other previously mentioned movements, right? Not only do white people disagree with Black Lives Matter, that polls show us this, but for the most part, like all those other movements, they undermined it by vilifying it. That's why Martin Luther King was called a communist. The civil rights protesters were called anti-American. The anti-lynching movement was undermined by, you know, the FBI's COINTELPRO, which was originally conceived to hunt communists. All of these movements were not just demonized by white people, but they were undermined because white people disagreed with them. Which brings us to White Lives Matter. And to understand why that t-shirt is offensive, but historically important, you have to go back to the 1960s. Let's go back to this guy who was in the civil rights movement. He was a freedom rider. He was a civil rights activist. His name was Stokely Carmichael. And one summer, you know, they call Freedom Summer, a bunch of activists, white and black, went to Mississippi to register a bunch of people to vote. And, you know, it kind of worked, but, you know, they murdered four of those activists. And so the next summer, this guy, Stokely Carmichael, he was kind of getting disillusioned with the idea of nonviolent resistance, right? So he went to this county called Lowndes County, Alabama, and decided he was going to register black people to vote. And so he started the Lowndes County Freedom Organization. And the LCFO, they didn't have a political agenda, right? They were not Democrats, they were not Republicans. But here's what he said about it.
So we call them Lowndes, for instance, in Lowndes County, we call the Lowndes County Freedom Organization. They're called freedom organizations and they're organized on the county level. Now, the Alabama law says that for these organizations or conferences or what have you, you need an emblem. And we just happened to pick the panther. There was no significance about it. I am sure that when the racists realize that they have nothing to turn to ensure their power, then they will have to turn to violence in mass scale. Now, they've always used violence. They've always used it. They use it openly. And in a state where we've met nothing but violence, where the governor has advocated nothing but violence, we expect nothing but violence.
Do the members of this organization carry weapons all the time or just when they anticipate trouble?
Well, most of them travel with them all the time. When I first moved into Alabama, you would see pickup trucks go by, white pickup trucks with guns. You know, you can carry a gun in Alabama as long as it's shown. You see rifles, and there were no Negroes, but now in Lowndes County, Negroes carry their guns too. To advocate nonviolence in Lowndes County is to advocate suicide.
Would you call this a political education society?
No, I would call it a political party. Its aim is to get political power. We want to take over the political machinery in the Black Belt counties where we work.
Yeah, his goal was to take over Lowndes County politics because black people couldn't elect anybody, right? In fact, there were only four people, black people registered to vote before the Lowndes County Freedom Organization went down there. And so they had a motto. And they said that the motto was black power for black people. And that, you know, they weren't scared of these people because they had guns just like the white people had guns. Well, the Lowndes County Freedom Organization was so successful that Alabama's Democratic Party eventually merged with the LCFO and they became their own political party. And this was the kind of the beginning of the Democrats supporting black candidates, right? And one of those first four people to register to vote under the LCFO, a couple of years later, he was elected sheriff. And not only was he elected sheriff, he served for 22 years. And after 22 years, he couldn't be sheriff anymore because he became the Lowndes County probate judge. But let's go back to the 60s, right? So after that summer, the next summer, you know, in crazy Mississippi, there was this guy named James Meredith. He had already integrated by himself the University of Mississippi, or what we call Ole Miss. So after he integrated Ole Miss, he wanted to prove to the country that, like Lowndes County, black people weren't afraid anywhere, that white supremacy was nothing to be afraid of. So he wanted to march from Tennessee all the way through the South to show that white supremacy and white supremacists was nothing to be afraid of. And on his first day, while the police were ignoring him, a man walked up to James Meredith and shot him. On his first day of his march, of the March for Freedom, his march was over. Except that all those black activists said, man, we're not going to let it go down like this. And they went down to Mississippi and they continued James Meredith's march. And on the first day that they continued the march, they had this big, you know, speech, this big event where all these black leaders spoke. Martin Luther King spoke, you know, all the black leaders spoke. And when it was Stokely Carmichael's time to speak, he didn't talk about nonviolent resistance. He was done with that. He was going to talk about black power for black people. And he stood up and he started speaking, and one of his homeboys stood up and says, "What do we want?" And everybody in that crowd said, "Black power. What do we want? Black power." And that's how black power for black people was condensed to the phrase black power. And that's how the LCFO's mascot, the Black Panther, became the mascot of the Black Power movement, which became known as the Black Panther Party. And that's why it was demonized. The whole Black Power movement was demonized by white America. And how did they demonize it? They flipped the phrase. Instead of black power, they started saying white power. Now, that was way back then. But anyone you know today who says that phrase white power, you know that they're specifically using it as a weapon against black people. You know that they believe in white supremacy. And all they did was use the phrase that black people came up to identify with their freedom, with their quest for equality. All they did is flip it and add white to it. And that's the same thing they did with Black Lives Matter. When someone says white lives matter, they're not seriously suggesting that white lives should be important, because there's never been a nanosecond in the history of this country that white lives weren't important. White lives were important when they founded this country. White lives were so important that they dragged black people over here to do white people's work. White lives were so important that they kept lynching us when we said, "Hey, man, like, you don't have to do that." White lives were so important that they demonized our right to vote, our right to participate in democracy, our right to live where we wanted to live and go to school where we wanted to go to school. There has never been a minute that white lives haven't been important or mattered, just like there's never been a minute where white power didn't exist. And so when they flip it, they're not being serious. They're trying to demonize the Black Lives Matter movement or any person who wants black people to be equal and free and really American. And that's why white lives don't matter. Because we already know it does. This country demonstrates it every day. And that's why the t-shirt is not offensive, unless you put it in the context of the people who are specifically anti-black, who use our movements to demonize ourselves and to try to end our existence. And that's why you need to download the Griot app. That's why you need to subscribe. That's why you need to tell a friend about our podcast. And that's why we leave you with a famous black saying. And today's black saying is, if white lives didn't matter, we wouldn't have to say Black Lives Matter. Thank you for listening to the Griot Daily, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Griot Daily. If you liked what you heard, please give us a 5-star review, download the Griot app, subscribe to the show, and share it with everyone you know. Please email all questions, suggestions, and compliments to podcasts@thegriot.com.
The Griot Black Podcast Network is here, and it's everything you've been waiting for. News, talk, entertainment, sports, and today's issues, all from the Black perspective. Ready for real talk and Black culture amplified? Be inspired. Listen to new and established voices now on the Griot Black Podcast Network. Listen today on the Griot mobile app and tune in everywhere great podcasts are heard.